This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities taking a look at the wheat markets for Wednesday, November 11th. Well, happy Veterans Day. And looking at the crop report, it's a happy day for the row crops in particular. But all the grain complex had a nice strong day yesterday, led by corn and soybeans. After the supply-demand report was released, we had some pretty shocking numbers. The trade was bracing for some bullish numbers, but boy, USDA really laid it on yesterday. We'll start with corn, which was the biggest surprise, but soybeans weren't too far behind them. In corn at 14.507 billion bushel production, that was down 215 million just from last month. Yields were lowered 2.6 bushels an acre at 175.8. That was far below what the trade was looking for. And still up 8.3 bushels an acre over last year, but again, this is compared to last month and what the trade was looking for. Exports were also raised, 325 million. Not a huge surprise, but a little bit more than what the trade expected. So we're sitting at export estimate of 2.65 billion bushels. That would be a record if that is achieved. Feed use was down 75 million. Food and ethanol unchanged. And ending stocks for corn were lowered 465 million bushels at 1.7 billion. That would be the lowest ending stocks since 2013 and 2014, so a six-year low for corn. World production was down 11 million tons, led by Ukraine, which was, as we saw, yields drop, the lowest yields since 2012 and 2013 for Ukraine. Production was down 8 million tons at 28.5 million. That's down 22% in just 1 month. And also down 22% from last year. So Ukraine, which started out looking pretty stellar as far as production, they ran into that dry stretch, which cut into their wheat production and cut into Russia's wheat production in the southern region and really hurt their corn production, obviously. And of course, USDA raised China corn imports up 6 million tons to 13.0 million tons. Now, the Chinese tariff rate quota is at 7 million tons. So even though China has not yet officially increased their TRQ, USDA is already pegging that they will, because loadings are already at least 13 million tons. So that number is likely to increase as we see China purchases continue to increase as well. In soybean production, we had 4.17 billion bushels. That was down 98 million from last month. Yield was down 1.2 bushels an acre at 50.7 bushels an acre. Crush and exports were left unchanged. Ending stocks were at 190. That's down 100 million in 1 month. That's a 34% drop. From last year, they're down 333 million. That's 64% lower than a year ago. And we're down 79%. From 2 years ago, down 719 million bushels for ending stocks in soybeans just in 2 years. It's remarkable. We went from 909 million bushels just 2 years ago to 190. So that puts U.S. ending stocks in a very tight situation. From just being overwhelmed with supply 2 years ago, now we're in a very tight situation with China buying about every bushel they can get their hands on. And at the same time, we're looking at dry conditions continuing in Argentina and Brazil. Now, we got some rain forecast there for these next few days, but the longer range forecast continues to suggest it's going to be a dry spell as La Nina really entrenches. And this is one of the strongest La Ninas we've seen in years. So the soybean market, of course, has been on a pretty strong run here over the last couple months. From Chinese demand, now production, we knew production was declining here in the United States, and now it looks like we're going to see some pretty, could see some pretty sharp drops in production in South America. For world production, already we're seeing USDA lower Argentina production down 2.5 million tons at 51 million. Exports were left unchanged at 7. In Brazil, they left production unchanged at 133.0 million tons and left exports unchanged at 85 million. Now for wheat, which of course is where we're focusing on, they left U.S. production pretty much unchanged. Production was at 1.826 billion bushels. That was unchanged from last month. Yield at 49.7, also unchanged from last month. The numbers really didn't budge very much. Exports were left unchanged at 975 million. They did take food use up about 5 million bushels, and they took seed use up 1 million bushels. So ending stocks were down 6 at 877 million bushels, which is down 151 million from a year ago, which is a 15% drop. Average price left unchanged at 470 a bushel. For the world, they took Argentina production down 1 at 18.0 million tons. That was due to the drought that started, of course, during their growing season and extending through corn and soybean production season. They also had some freezes down there that cut into their yields. Yields were the lowest in Argentina for the last 8 years. Exports were lowered 500,000 tons to 12.5 million tons. We don't expect to see as much competition from Argentina. Australia was left unchanged at 28.5 million ton production, exports at 19.0. So we expect to see some pretty aggressive selling out of Argentina here over these next couple months. European Union exports were increased to 500,000 tons at 26.0. Russian production increased to 500,000 tons at 83.5, exports up a half at 39.5. Ukraine was left unchanged for wheat production at 25.5 million tons, exports also unchanged at 17.5. Chinese imports were increased to 500,000 tons at 8.0 even. That's the largest wheat import projection since 1995 and 96. World-ending stocks were lowered 1 million ton at 320 million ton, which is still a record. So wheat, while it's a sort of a bullish number, it's not really off the charts bullish like we saw in corn and beans. So wheat, which had kind of been the leader of the complex for a while over these last couple months, really has kind of taken a back seat. It's really all about corn, and I think even more so about soybeans. And with the dryness that we're seeing in South America, this just adds fuel to the fire. Again, we'd already seen both corn and soybeans shoot higher, and mostly soybeans, but Chinese buying has just been off the charts. And of course, I think they were preparing in case Trump got reelected or just shoring up their own supplies. They've had some pretty rough weather this growing season as well. And now we throw this dryness in South America on it, and we throw a very bullish supply-demand report into the mix. This really sets the stage for some dynamic price action, as if we haven't already seen it. And of course, soybeans shot higher. They're up about 40 cents. Yesterday, corn up, 15 to 18 cents. So clearly a strong reaction to the supply-demand report, and it held those gains into the close. Wheat tagging along, and it will, and I think it'll be led by Chicago. This is why I've kind of slowed down and kind of taken to the sidelines as far as the spreads. Kansas City versus Chicago and Minneapolis versus Chicago will probably widen back out if corn and soybeans get into a deeper weather market in South America. Chicago wheat will tag along faster. It's more of your feed grain wheat for one thing. And of course, if you see a drop in feed grain production, primarily corn, then I think Chicago wheat will be your leader, at least initially. Now, with Brazil, the dryness that has extended there is probably going to lower soybean plantings and increase corn plantings, which ultimately is not bullish corn, obviously. So I think it's why soybeans really have taken the leadership here in response to this crop report. So there's a lot of bullish news here, and I think the market performed obviously very well with a strong close yesterday. The night session getting some continuation. Beans up 9, corn's just up 1, and wheat is up 1 in Chicago. Kansas City's up 3, Minneapolis up 2. So Kansas City, interestingly, doesn't really want to give up this spread. That's a very good sign for our overall fundamental stance on this. And it's, again, interesting that even with the dynamics going on in corn and soybeans, Chicago can't really get that much more than Kansas City. I think it affirms where we are fundamentally with that, and in particular, the new crop, July's. That spread just continues to ratchet its way higher. And even after yesterday's performance, it pulled back a little bit, but we're back up. We're gaining 4 cents on it today. So it's interesting how, you know, Chicago's following corn very closely, not so much the soybeans. And again, that's, I think, in reaction to the longer the dryness lingers in Brazil, the fewer soybean acres you're going to get. So that just is more bullishness for beans, but it's a little bit more bearishness for corn. But I think all of that, if the dryness continues, obviously is bullish for all of those crops. So we want to be very careful of these next probably 4 to 5 weeks that, you know, if the weather doesn't improve notably in South America, we're going to see much, much higher prices in soybeans and corn. That will pull Chicago wheat higher, skew those spreads with Minneapolis and Kansas City, but obviously set us up for some much better positioning there. So those are things we're being careful of. I do think that, you know, with the way soybeans are holding together very well, even with some rain in the short-term forecast, the market's not breaking. So that's interesting to see as well. And I think that just shows the bullishness of the bean complex and that we have a fair amount more to go here, at least over these next few weeks. If you have any comments, feel free to call 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.